times have changed for some businesses. Another change that comes to mind is the grain door department. Once the grain has been removed from the boxcar, the grain doors are thrown back into the boxcar to be handled by grain door men. The grain door men would remove the nails and arrange the doors to be recycled. Grain door men were not employed by the elevator. I am not sure whether they were employed by the railway or a company contracted by railway companies for the recycling of grain doors. Someone once said that half the houses in the East End were built from grain doors. That statement, of course, would be highly exaggerated, but there is no doubt in my mind that a lot of grain doors found their way to private residences, not only in East End, but Westport and other parts of the city as well. Given the economic climate of the 1930s, I would think a lot of grain doors were used in construction in private homes. Grain doors no longer exist, but merely a memory in the minds of people like myself who remember them from back in the day. Covered hopper cars are the rolling stock in today's world. When the box cars were unloaded and shoved out to a holding area to be picked up by the train crew, the grain door men would go to work on the grain doors. Part of the track was to inspect the liner of the boxcar for grain still caught behind the liner. The boxcars were lined with boards to prevent grain sticking to the boxcar walls in damp and cold weather. I don't recall the dimensions of the boards that lined the boxcars, but I would guess the dimensions to be about 1x4 or 1x6 inches in width. Through wear and tear, some would be missing, thus allowing grain to be caught in between the liners of the boxcar wall. The trackman's job was to report that there was grain behind the liner as all grain moved into and out of the elevator had to be accounted for. Sometimes the liners would contain an insignificant amount of grain, other times several hundred pounds. With regard to grain in the liners, I have an interesting story to share. During the 60s at the Kern River Elevator, there was a person who was removing the leftover grain into burlap sacks and carrying them to his vehicle, subsequently bootlegging the grain. This was against the law. This person would sometimes hire a helper. As a Board of Grain Commissioners employee, we had the authority to tell him not to remove the grain, which we did. But we couldn't always be out in the outbound area where the grain cars were waiting to be shunted. cement floor and steel railing below me. I was hanging only on by my elbows on each side of the skylight flanges supporting my weight. Had the boxcar been directly below me, I would have jumped, but just the very edge of the boxcar was below me, with 3 feet of cement floor separating the boxcar and steel railings that were on the floor. Car shed employees were looking up with panic in their eyes and scrambling just to see how they could save me. One such employee did. There's a staircase leading to the car shed roof. He ran up as fast as he could, and he got behind me, clutched me under my arms, and pulled me to safety. I can't recall his name, but I clearly remember what he looked like. He was a young, red-headed guy. I went into the way office. Shortly afterwards, a supervisor from the wing staff came to see me. He suggested that I go home for the rest of the day. I told him I was okay and that I wanted to finish my shift. He said that in a near tragedy, it plays on a person's mind affecting his job. I told him I was okay and that reflecting on a near tragedy was not going to affect my work. Shortly after he and I spoke, he left. Then the superintendent of Pool 3 came to see me. He asked me if I was okay. I replied that I was. And he then said, "You knew the skylight was there. It was clearly your fault." And then he walked on the elevator way office. Oh, well, at least he didn't make me pay for the skylight. As I've said, I have enjoyed my working at elevators. I have a lot of fond memories, both of my sailing days and the great elevators. But a point came in my life when I decided that I did not want to do this for the rest of my life. I believe that everyone in life has a niche. Working at the green elevators would not be mine. I resigned early in 1972. I furthered my education at Confederation College, then a short stint in real estate, and then into bus driving. I retired from Greyhound April 1st, 2002. Once I became a bus driver, I guess one could say I became alienated from the green elevators. In a manner of speaking, remnants did exist. In the mid-70s, a supervisor for the inspection staff was on my bus en route to an NHL game in Minneapolis. Occasionally, some of the supervisors from the wing staff would come to the bus depot restaurant for coffee. One day, when I was on the Dryden run, Mo Sotcher, who was at Manitoba Pool 1 at the time, came to the bus depot with his teenage daughter and asked me to keep an eye on her to her destination, which was Ignace. I would also run into Board of Grain Commissioner employees in the years that followed my resignation with the Board of Grain Commissioners. From 1995 to 2005, my youngest daughter, who had just graduated as an RN, moved to Florida. So every winter for about 10 years, my wife and I would go to her place for 3 weeks. During that time frame, Thunder Bay Days were held at Anderson Park in Tarpon Springs. It was a yearly one-day event. One year, I met Bobby Shearer and Frank Kovac and their wives. They were from the wing staff, and they were accompanied by a man named David Cook and his wife. And Dave was from Manitoba Pool. Another year, I met Jack Burke, who was a former Ogilvy elevator worker. And then another year, I met Ab Cava and his wife there. Ab and I worked together occasionally when we were on the wing staff. But Ab, like myself, resigned, found his niche in a brick business. Not as in furniture store, but as in a brickyard. And just 3 months ago in December, I ran into Gary Rentz. He and his wife were working a table at a flea market, as my wife and I were. We were at the flea market for a few hours. That gave us a lot of time to talk. I worked with Gary when we were both tracked over 40 years ago. Yes, it was over 40 years since I saw Gary.